Welcome to the FinGen Show. I'm your host, Faris Alami, and today's episode is brought to you by Connecting Dots Globally, a youth entrepreneurship focusing on global trade, entrepreneurship, and STEM-related field to the youth in our world. Today's episode, I'm really excited. Richard, how are you?
I'm doing great, Faris. So happy to be here to share ideas with you and your amazing audience.
Well, thank you so much. Same feelings here. It's pretty impressive background, and I can't wait to dig deep into it. So, you know, as you know, the point of the podcast is really try to bust some myths about entrepreneurship and maybe make it easier for someone to start their business. Not that it's easy, but easier to start and get connected with the right people. So I thought maybe you could share with us, first of all, who's Richard and what do you do?
I am the proud CEO of Costa Rica's call center. We just celebrated our 15th year in business, February 6th. We're a nearshore, bilingual, dedicated call center, and we handle customer support, lead generation, appointment setting. And I couldn't be more proud of the agents here because, once again, bringing to the table being bilingual bears the mark of higher education. And most people today would love to speak with somebody. So as long as we cradle this art of speech and give individuals a positive experience on the phone, I think we can continue to shine in the best light this offshore telemarketing call center industry.
That's great. You know, I thank you so much for that. I'd love to hear a little bit about why did you start this? What can you walk me through? What was Richard doing before this call center? And by the way, congratulations, 15 years, not an easy task to tackle. So you've gone through a bunch of, I call it speed bumps.
Of course, but it was natural speed bumps. I learned from my grandparents that if you can't pay for something in cash, you shouldn't do it. So initially, when I first started off in this business, I didn't overextend myself. I was renting turnkey stations at a blended center, almost like an internet cafe. And then after time, I was able to build out a 150-seat center with used equipment and used furniture. And then just 6 years ago, I built out a 300-seat center. But let's go back. Where did this story begin? Back when I graduated the proud Abington High School in Northeast Philadelphia in 91, I decided to continue my favorite class, which was Spanish. So I went to the University of Arizona. I was a Spanish communication major. You and I are Wildcats, so there we go, bear down. But I took a risk. You know, a lot of the times families will pressure you into going into medical school, being a lawyer, architecture, engineer, and you have these sort of opinions where you should be going to Ivy League or following other footsteps. Well, it was very difficult for me, Faris, to compare notes with people when I was a Spanish major. And also when people were looking at communication, they saw that more as a party major, which it was, but it also prepared me and gave me my self-reliance and self-confidence for public speaking, for rhetoric. And I even dabbled in micro-expression reading, nonverbal communication. And I expanded it at the call center where we were cracking some codes phonetically as well. And we can get to that later. But my friend, there's no blueprint to be a CEO of a call center. I was given a one in a million opportunity when I was 27. I decided to get past my parents' guilt, not listen to the naysayers and gray believers, fall back on the Spanish that I've been using my whole life, and decided to drink life. So I took it. And the next thing you know, I worked at my friend's center for 4 years and I learned the business from the inside out. I was teaching English and learning the industry. But we'd mentioned prior to the podcast, if you extend empathy and you give people dignity and you show them job stability, it doesn't matter what vertical you're in, your employees and the people that work with you will come back and add wind in your sails, and you will have friends at your Chuck E. Cheese birthday party.
Yeah, very interesting. So thank you so much for sharing that, because a lot of times people think, you know, 15 years call center, you have all these people in, it, you know, must have happened overnight. And I appreciate you sharing the whole side hustle of you teaching ESL, because I remember reading that somewhere on your profile, and then doing this on the side, learning the industry. 4 years, you know, from my perspective, you kind of like got another PhD in the field before you even jumped in a way.
So you learn human nature. Yeah. Let's be realistic here, my friend. I am a guest in this country, okay? So I'm the trunk of the tree. I needed branches and roots. I had to hire chief technical officers, human resources directors, attorneys, accountants. I couldn't do it all on my own, and I needed to have the faith to delegate and bring in people to grow this company. And I would much prefer to have somebody with skills that are new that I can mold them, and bringing in some 10-year hotshot that might be a cancer and jump from the call center. So it's very delicate, this sort of company culture that we have here and the sort of synergy. So we're extremely selective, not only of the clients, but also of the agents that enter the center.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. So to tell me, you know, clearly we could dig so much, because I mean, one of the things I also noticed that you also were real, did I get that right? Real estate. Did you do some of that as well during your journey, or was that before?
I have. Prior to working at this call center, I worked with my brother's real estate company in Arizona.
Okay.
And I got a chance to do FSBOs and cancels and expires. And that was literally the last boss I had and the last job I had before starting my own company. But I realized this, that when you're competing with people on a Sunday morning to try to get their listing, you can compare percentages, you can compare contracts. My friend, I was looking to buy time. What I wanted to do was to at least be humble and sincere, to be excited for their house and to do my due diligence on the MLS, so at least I can talk about their curb appeal and their sport court. Mm-hmm. But then finally, I always like using self-wraps. Unlike other people that are sleeping in on Sundays or watching the Eagles game. Paris, I'm on the phone with you right now. Isn't that the sort of individual that you would like to be working with you to represent your property? So prior to any sort of contracts, I showed good faith 3 or 4 times by following up with an email, taking copious notes. And when I sent an email, I used meeting minutes to pay attention. And even doing the greatest thing, a positive escalation, because if I was passed to the decision maker from a wife or a child, I would definitely say, hey, this individual really assists me and thank you very much. And so you're not compromising ethics, values, or morals, or being extremely consistent on being a professional. And from an educated point of view, Faris, that's how the majority of my clients have made very good decisions.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's take a break. I want to dig a little bit deeper on some of these things you're talking about. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back after this short message. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Faris Alami. I'm your host of the FinGen Show. And today we have Richard Blank, and I'm excited to hear more about his story. Richard, when you started talking about your whole concept of follow-up and, you know, calls and thanking the people that passed you through, it sounded like you took a page out of my Power of Seven book, which is, I'm always humbled to hear that, because whenever people say, you know, these are all new ideas, also people, I don't really have any new ideas in the book. It's all the proven, you know, techniques that really great people were able to do over and over and over, and just simplifying it. And you just did a great job simplifying, saying these 3 or 4 steps that you did, calling them, creating a rapport with them, and building, you know, a relationship.
Let me give you some more special
stuff. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Prior to even that sort of charming conversation that I was just sharing, you need to at least set the pace and set the tone. My suggestion, if you're making any sort of prospect outbound phone calls, you should use your anonymity. Not for the whole call, that's shady. But I think in the beginning, you should do a company name spike. Hey, how's the FinGen Show doing today? I'm not asking how you're doing. I'm asking how your company's doing. Plus, Faris, I said it better than the person who answered your call. So it reduces an ego defense. It makes me sound like a mystery shopper, someone that's been there before. Yep. And then they're going to ask me a question is, hey, you sound like a nice guy. Who are you? Yep. And then I use the buffer boomerang technique. I can buffer a negative tone. I can say your name, Faris, and say, that's an excellent question. Repeat the question for active listening and boomerang it back at you. Answering it is a +2. And so these are the sort of techniques that give you balance and structure, where you can concentrate on 30-second segments of communication to reset tones. And then there's also ways in which you can see the telesigns to interject and ask for clarification and tie-down questions. Plus, we really focus on personal pronouns like you or an R for quarter-second slides to reset conversations mid-sentence. And we also believe in name-dropping for transitional sentences or when you're using the tie-downs and pin-downs. And finally, you always pause before a name and a number for emphasis.
Wow, so many gems, I don't know.
And I know you know what I'm talking about. Of course I do.
I'm hoping the listeners do, and if they don't, they need to talk to you more often, right? That's the key. When is the book coming out with some of these awesome secrets? Not yet.
You see this, you don't unsee it. It's common sense.
Yeah.
As long as you're in the now, you can catch these tell signs to anchor to me to them to put them back on a straight line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I used to say that this is what I do is anyone common sense. And what I learned throughout the years being humble now is that what I think common sense and you think common sense, some other people might just not be aware of it to even make it common sense. And bringing it up to their attention can really bridge. This is one of the reasons why we started the show, is really because people saying, well, you keep telling me I should know this. And the truth first is I don't know. And, you know, and I'm like, whoa, really? And I'm like, well, you should know. And they're like, well, I knew parts of it, but the way it's structured, the way you laid it out, the way you followed up with it, that's really somewhat simplifying the message. And I think there's so much power to that. Let's go back to one question I wanted to ask you, because, you know, as you know, we have a little bit of time and with the show. I mean, through your journey, you know, 15 years, I'm sure you've had ups and downs, and I appreciate you sharing that up front with the whole idea of you wanting to be a doctor or you know, or an attorney or a lawyer. And I feel like, you know, I came from a similar family background. That's the only path that you could become successful if you were one of those two categories. If not, then I'm sorry to hear whatever path you take. I hope that it'll lead you back there again. Would love to hear from your ups and downs. What were maybe one moment that you felt you touched the sky and you feeling so good, or a moment that you felt you're in the bottom of earth and you don't even know if you could see the sky at all, or if you could see the light at the end of the tunnel? Would you share maybe one of those darker moments that you felt the world is ending? What am I going to do next?
Well, let's start with dessert first. Let me go happy and then I'll go sad. Happy is me sitting with you today, 15 years later of this $1 million shot that should have never happened. Northeast Philly kid moving to Central America at 27, marrying the girl of his dreams and starting a company? Sure. So look at me now. I'm a happy boy living my dream and was very true to myself. Let's talk negativity. I was very hard on myself. It's only because of immaturity and impulse control, because I guess the reality of attrition really didn't hit me until I started working with people. How about this? I'll lose people for natural attrition, Farris. I'll lose them because of a scheduling conflict, a best friend or boyfriend or girlfriend works somewhere closer to their home, even financially could be more lucrative. But people will not leave my call center for forced attrition. I will not give them the walk of shame. We won't deface you on the floor and I won't make you cry. I'll give you some Philly guilt. I'll let you know, Farris, man, you know you're better than that. Come on, look what you did last week. I saw you do that. And so at least I'm going to bend you. I'm just not going to break you. And I'm going to also try to pay it forward, because people do deserve second chances, or maybe potentially something's happening outside of the office, which could be affecting your performance. So I'm giving people benefits of the doubt. As long as they're following the labor laws and I'm able to do things accordingly, I do have a little bit of wiggle room. And also, my good friend, this industry is where people burn out. They look at it as transitional and they kind of look down upon it. I survived and I thrived. Not only that, I'm the head of my own Coliseum. I'm a gladiator on this. Reason being, I always loved the art of speech. And when somebody focuses on a thesaurus to expand their similes and take out words like help and use words like guide, sis, lend a hand, be more diplomatic and strategic instead of saying, excuse me, it's more for my clarification. I'll fall on the sword if your dog is barking or if you have a bad cell connection. That's my issue. And I always find ways to use the military alphabet just to confirm how you spell your name. And it's wonderful to pronounce exotic names perfectly. And a lot of the times, especially in the Middle East and Asia, they'll go, you know, Richard, you're the first person to actually pronounce it correctly or took the time. That's our pleasure. And as long as we can once again create that circle where they're not compromising ethics and they have a wonderful relationship with me playing pinball machines and breaking bread and I can walk the rows and assist them in their career, then guess what? I've done my job.
That's great. So I'm curious, with those moments that you might have felt the world is ending, at least at your company, because I mean it sounded like you had to start from wherever you had. And as you were building it up, what motivated you to keep going? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
That's very easy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Leaving a castle to slay a dragon, to save a princess and be a prince. I always wanted a fantasy life.
Okay.
And even living this for one day, I could look in the mirror and still respect myself for the fact that I was true to myself. And the fact that I had this run Why do you think that I jump clouds every day? Even if somebody hangs up on me after 30 seconds by doing a company name strike, saying your name in a positive escalation before being transferred, we consider those romantic deaths. At least I said your name three times before you hung up on me. And so as long as I can see the beauty in what we do, long as I can smile every day, I can feel comfortable enough that I've invested my time and my life in my career correctly. And I can live with that. And so that's a beautiful thing. If you can make your bed in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and put your shoulders back at the end of the day, golden jewels, they lose their luster, Faris. It's really not about the money. Do you want to count money? Fine, let's do it. But why don't we talk about all the families we fed? Why don't we talk about all the mothers and grandmothers we made proud? And when we look back at ourselves and our lives, we really did have that special vision quest, that spiritual life journey. We believed in our intuition. That to me is the greatest gift you could give yourself.
Thank you, Richard. Clearly we could keep you here all day, but I want to be respectful of you and your time. Maybe if you were to go back in time and see the young Richard himself 15 years ago or 20 years, whatever way you want to go, what would be one thing that you may feel like this could be a great insight for someone today who's thinking about starting a business or thinking about growing their business? What would you tell your young you or your young them today? Not necessarily by age, but I'm talking about, starting of the company.
I believe in positive reinforcement and dedicated practice. If you're not getting any better at something, you shouldn't invest your life in it. But when I was a little boy, I was gravitated towards Spanish. And in high school, it really hit where I got a college recommendation letter from this teacher. And in college, I kept getting better and people loved me speaking Spanish. So obviously, this was growing. And I didn't jump into it 100%. I was dipping my toe in the pool of life and trying jobs where I could use my bilingual skills. And once again, the momentum was there. So I believed in physics. And I was being responsible with my family. I was being responsible with myself. But after so many times when you're hitting the ball over the fence, it's time to go pro. And I had to do it. And it was probably one of the greatest decisions I made in my entire life. As I say, I could have lived with myself if I failed after one day compared to never trying. But once again, my friend, it built up to that over so many years. It just wasn't a one thing where I decided to pack my bags and move to California. I mean, obviously, this was an interest from an early age.
Yeah, sure. No, thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate you sharing the insights of your journey because, hopefully those insights could inspire others to look inside and see what they could do with what, one of the things I always talk about, start where you are with what you have. Right. And, then you, as you did looking around, this is something, a gift to you with the language that you're able to take it and run. And as you stated, you could have run any different way you wanted to. You could have been a teacher. You could have been a professor. You could have been a translator. There's so many ways, but you find your calling through the call center, right?
And it is the most lucrative. Let's be realistic here.
I don't know. So thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for making the time, Richard. Until the next show, I'm your host, Faris Alami. Thank you for being with us at the FinGen Show.